freedom from sin's bite. Powerful teaching from Jeremiah 8 through 12. Just boom, put it right there. This is something that adds to that. So once you deal with that place of hiding in silence that you took on, it's better not to say anything, I'll just stay here, it'll go away. Actually, when you ran to that city, the Bible calls it your fortified city, and God's going to tear it down. When you ran to the fortified city, which is a counterfeit of Christ, hiding in Christ, when you ran there, what you did is you became disheartened. You cut off from facing things. You lost your courage. You lost your courage to stand up and face the enemy. You lost your courage to stand up and say, no, this is wrong. No, that's not who I am. No, you won't continue this. You're not going to threaten me. I am going to tell my parents what's going on. You can forget that. You're not shutting me up. The people who chose that route, such as I did in some situations, we never had that fortified city to be silent. I never had that one. And you know what? I've never been depressed. I have never been depressed, and I have never been discouraged. And I think Satan knows he has to get you, first of all, to be disheartened, to try to not want to deal with it, to deal with it. I know without question, had God not given me grace when Lauren died, had I not known the Lord and been walking with him to the revelation level that I was at, I would have probably gone through depression and been disheartened when my daughter died. I mean, that's what they call normal. And then you run to a place of solitaire and isolation, and that's where Satan gets you. So you don't get it. When he gets you by yourself, quiet, isolated, and he takes your courage and you can't speak about it, you can't tell anyone, you feel like a failure, you feel like something's wrong with you. One of the scriptures, or one of the words here, was very inferior. And when you feel like that, you take on bitterness, and everything is about God being, why did God even make you anyway? Why doesn't he take care of you? Do you understand? I mean, I understand what it is to overcome these things. Thank you, Jesus. But had the enemy attacked me earlier, and had I bought into this, which could have easily happened without God's grace, you make choices. See, I got haughty and puffed up instead of the other. This is beat down. Makes sense, doesn't it? Okay. So to depress someone is to dishearten, is to deprive them of courage. What's to deprive them of courage? The ability to face and deal with things that come into their life. I would almost guess that about everyone who's ever done drugs and really did alcohol to any level of addiction, probably even sexual perversion, but definitely alcohol, because alcohol and drugs are something you do to not deal with stuff. That's what you're doing it for. You think you're having a good time. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Nobody thinks it's a good time when they're throwing away all their money, risking their life, losing relationships, and living for something that goes into your body that doesn't have anything to do with people. Why? You're disheartened. When you're disheartened, then it breaks down any real relationships. It destroys any real intimacy or relationships. It becomes your relationship. Now, you didn't have to become an alcoholic or drug addict to have this, because if you don't, though, what are you? Lonely and depressed, or you could decide to be a workaholic. You know, there's so many charmers you can take on to deal with this thing, okay? God just wants us free from all of this. Depressed is to lower your spirit, to bring down your spirit, to make you gloomy, to pull you down, to lower you, to make you sad, to discourage you, to sadden you. So Satan has demons whose job is to beat you down. Why? Because, you know, you're the apple of God's eye. God loves you so much. God has created this whole earth for us to dwell on and have a wonderful time. God created relationships for us to enjoy our life. And Satan hates all of that. So he wants to tear you down, beat you down, cause you to be discouraged, cause you to hate yourself, cause you to be disheartened, take everything from you. If he can't do that, then he wants to puff you up and make you think you don't need God, make you wealthy, make you rich. I mean, there are his only two schemes. And for some people, he does both. You know, he's not that hard to figure out, really. When you really start seeing studying the Word of God and seeing how this works. All right, wretched. I looked up wretched because that's what Paul says. Let's go there. Where's that scripture? Romans 7:24. Yeah, this is going to be really powerful teaching for people who really deal with depression. I know there's been a lot of people in here at some point or another, you've been on even medication for it. And that day's over. As the Lord sets you free, don't go off your medication without God telling you or your doctor, but know that you don't have to stay like that. He talks about, look at verse 19, Romans 7:19. For what good I desire, I do not do, but the evil I do not desire, this I do. But if I do what I do not desire, it is no longer I working it out, but the sin dwelling in me. In other words, there's areas in your life where sin completely take over and begin to destroy you. There's areas in your life where sin comes in and really tries to pull you down, okay? And so that sin does not necessarily mean what we would call blatant breaking the laws of God. The Bible says it's sin to not have faith. The Bible says it's sin to not fellowship together. There's a lot of sin that's not like, murder or lying or cheating. And so what Paul is saying here is there's something that works in me that stops me from doing what I desire to do. It stops me from growing in God. It stops me from entering into the presence of God. It stops me from being that godly parent or that godly spouse or that godly person I want to be. There's something in me. There's sin in me. There's the nature of the enemy in me that stops me from overcoming and having victory if I'm left on my own. And because of this sin in us that causes us to constantly fight, it says, I find then the law, when I desire to do the right, that evil is present with me. That evil is in people. Here's Paul talking. I don't know why this is such a hard concept for the church. Her old perfect self. God's working on us. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. In other words, this may be some of you, you need to listen if this is your story. If you have a desire for everything that God has for you, if you have a desire to please God, if you have a desire to enter the presence of God, if you have a desire to move in the gifts of the Spirit, if you have a desire to completely sell out and live for God, inside your heart of heart, your inward man, the real you, wants God with all your heart. But something keeps getting in the way of that. Something keeps getting in the way of it. It says, I see another law in my members having warred against the law of my mind, taking me captive by the law of sin being in my members. So there's something in you that keeps taking you captive to not do these things you desire to do. At that point, you got to have the revelation, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then he gives us the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself with the mind truly serve the law of God. With the flesh, I've served the law of sin. When you find Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus set me free from the law of sin and death. For the law being powerless in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and concerning sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous demands of the law might be fulfilled in us, those not walking according to flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the ones that are according to flesh mind the things of the flesh. The ones according to the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is an enemy towards God, for it is not being subjected to the law of God, and neither can it be. And those being in the flesh are not able to please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, this one is not his. I'm not going to keep on with that. We have that in other places. It does go on in verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the practices of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Look at 15. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery again to fear, but you received a spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, also heirs, truly heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ, if indeed we suffer together, that we may be glorified together. I calculate the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to compare to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. And it goes on if you keep about slavery of corruption, the whole thing. What I want you to see here is that, remember what we said. We said, if you ever desolate, where you felt so abandoned, so forsaken, so beat down, so feeling as if you couldn't handle anything and you lost your courage, you couldn't face things, and in that place you became discouraged and then you became disheartened. And so you basically gave up your heart, you gave up your feelings, you ran and you hid, you ran to a silent place, you built a city, you let the devil build a city, and in that place you became this wretched person. In other words, you felt so wretched, so beat down, you couldn't do the things you wanted to do, you took on the mind of the flesh, you moved in the things of the flesh, and you have the hardest time breaking through to the spirit, some of you. To where even when you try, it's so painful, because Satan has put a blockage there. God wants you to see tonight that that's all a lie from the pit of hell. It's just a demon that's stopping you from entering in. It's not you. It's not about you. It's not about something wrong that you've done. It's this lie that you bought when you were attacked that took away your courage to stand up and face the enemy. Instead, you backed down, you were cornered, and you became depressed. You became lonely, you became sad, and sin, and when that happens in your life, sin continues to pull you into the carnal things. In other words, you run to carnal things because you can't enter into the spiritual things. And I believe that the spirit involved in this would be the spirit of desolate and wretched. Satan wants you to feel wretched. He wants you to feel so miserable, so inferior. He wants you to feel so wrong, so messed up, that he can totally steal your heart. He can steal the life out of you. And that's what depression does. Depression makes you give up your life, give up your joy, give up your peace, want to die. People who fight depression want to die to a place of suicide. Listen, it makes you hate living. I mean, that goes to the deepest degree of it. It makes it miserable. And so when that hits, people are going to respond with different coping mechanisms. Some people are going to run and get high and say, who cares? Some people are going to try to find a relationship to make them feel like they really want to live. Some people are going to become workaholics. Some people are going to be shopaholics. All the holics happen because the enemy has made you feel wretched. Exercise-aholics, whatever your aholic is, you need to get rid of it so you can enter into the peace that God has for you, the peace that passes understanding, the mind of Christ in you, the spiritual things becoming the priority in your life. See, this blockage stops you from entering into those spiritual things. I believe that's why a lot of people take religious spirits and have a counterfeit that doesn't have the fruit. Okay. Let's see what else I have here. Wretched, miserable, unhappy person. Person in deep distress, misfortune. A person who feels despised. Wretched, deeply distressed or unhappy, miserable, unfortunate. One who causes distress or misery. Okay. The enemy could have caused you to feel wretched if he made you feel maybe the way a parent treated you, maybe the way someone else treated you, maybe a babysitter treated you this way. Something happened and made you feel like you were the cause of misery and distress, that you were woeful, depressing, and dismal, that you were poor in quality, very inferior, despicable, and mean. And we talked about mean before, and I encourage you to get that teaching again. But mean is something that you degrade other people and put other people down because you feel like you're mean. You feel like you've been degraded and put down. Okay, so does anybody kind of see this? So I think the spirit, if we looked at the biblical name, yes. Yes.
What if you know through absolute
Right. The real you, let me say this in the mic so people can hear who are listening on the tape. Someone is asking, what if you have come to the revelation to know that the real you knows that the truth is there's no condemnation in Christ, that the real you is awesomely made, and that you should have joy unspeakable and full of glory, and you should be able to enter the presence of God because you're loved by God. And that's why we're having the meeting tonight. Okay? Now, you've got to be careful, because if you've been trying to break through and Satan's been stealing your hope, and that's why we did the teaching on disappointment. You know, we don't actually have like some manual we go by and practice what order we're going to teach this. This is very much prophetic, the order. We probably should have numbered these or labeled these or something, because it's really quite amazing the unraveling of the works of the enemy that God's doing in this particular teaching. It's amazing. But I want to encourage you. You always have to choose to believe God's word over your emotions and over your experience. Because if Satan has bound you this way, your emotions and your experiences are always going to tell you not to believe God. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why you have to understand there is one truth, and his name is Jesus. And his word is the plumb line. His word is true. Otherwise, you're going to stay wretched. There's no way to pull you out if you're going to believe you. Okay, here's the key. This is where you guys have to rise up and fight this. Or you get to keep it. It's just never going to change. You can keep what you want to keep. But to rise up and fight this, you have to choose to believe God's word. You have to. You have to say, my emotions don't matter. My past doesn't matter. No matter how many times I've gone up, doesn't matter. God's working in me. I'm not who I was, and he did die. You have to have this settled. He did not create me inferior. He loves me. I'm the apple of his eye, and he loves me so much that he died an unbelievable death, painful death, went to hell for me, just so I could have an intimate relationship with him. And that's about me. And hidden knowledge isn't the answer. I don't want just hidden knowledge about God. I want to taste and see that the Lord is good. I want to experience God. I want a real relationship with God. I want a life-changing relationship with God. I don't want to live under legalism. I don't want to live under the law. I want to live in a place where the Spirit of God and my spirit are having a great time, and I will not settle for anything less, because it's what God promises me. And it doesn't matter that I didn't feel the altar call yesterday. I didn't feel the presence of God. It doesn't matter how many times. You've never gone up for this altar call before, because I've never, ever done this altar call before, unless you've went up for it somewhere else, and not many people that I know right now are teaching this kind of depth to deliverance and inner healing.